In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The only way into eternal life is through faith in Christ as our personal Savior. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Over the years, I've learned one very important thing about faith. Faith does not make anything easy, but it makes all things, everything, possible. When we talked about faith in Sunday school this morning, that with faith and our Bible reading and our prayer, God will help us through whatever situations we may face in life. To have eternal life is great, but there's more than just eternal life. Christ came that we might have life more abundantly. All believers have life. As a believer, we have the promise of eternal life. But we're living beneath our privilege as a believer if we're not enjoying the abundant life. Let's examine the abundant life for just a minute. For a life to be abundant, it must have abundant resources. And the only unlimited source of life is in the person Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To possess this fuller life, the believer must abide in Christ. What does that mean? To be a part of the family, we live together. To be a part of the family of God, we worship together. But who's the main person in this family? God is supposed to be the head of the family of God. We mess up when we try to put our wants and our desires and the way we think things should be. We mess up when we try to alter the plan of God. We have to put the will of God, which is plainly stated in the Bible, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first, and all of these other things will be added unto you. For the life to be abundant, we must have abundant resources. To possess this fuller life, the believer must abide in Christ. We must put Christ first in everything that we do and say. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes and he makes it to where it will bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. And just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Over the years, countless years, and I'm 68 today, I've heard people say, "Why doesn't my church grow? Why aren't we more spiritual? Why doesn't this happen?" Are we abiding in Christ? Think about what happens to that vine that does not produce fruit. He gets his lopping shears out and he lops it off and it's thrown away. We don't want our life in Christ to be that way. We need to produce and bear fruit for the glory of God. Dynamic, abundant living is not just for a few. It's God's normal for every one of us. This is not something that is set aside for the preacher, or the Sunday school teacher, or the whoever in the church, or for the lay leader, or the secretary and treasurer. It is for everybody. If you are a child of God, this abundant living is for you. It's what God normal is for us as Christians. And without this, the Christian life becomes meaningless. I think back to Ecclesiastes, and that's not one of my listed texts, but he's talking about woe is me. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. I read a letter that somebody published about a young man that committed suicide because he felt that his life was in vain. Life had no meaning. His future did not hold anything for him. But our future holds something for us today as children of God. Our life can be meaningful instead of meaningless. Regardless of what our circumstances, regardless of our situation, if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, our life will find that meaning. And we can spread the good news and reach out to everyone around us with this glorious message. And we will be building up, laying up sheaves to lay at the Master's feet. I don't want to stand before my Savior empty-handed. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in here, girl. I've been waiting for you to come home. And that should be our desire today. That should be our constant prayer, that we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and put him first and foremost in our life. It's hard to do this. God didn't say it would be easy. It's hard to do this because every one of us are flesh and bone. The carnal or fleshly life is circumstance controlled. We look at our circumstances and we say, woe is me. Everything I'm doing is just falling apart. And we have us a big old pity party because our life is not as perfect as someone else's life appears to be. We feel so sorry for ourselves because we cannot have things our way. We cannot be in control. We're not supposed to be, folks. We're supposed to let Jesus Christ be in control of everything that we do and say. If it's not, we see these bracelets used to. It was a big fad going around. Everybody, all the kids, everybody had one. What would Jesus do? I grant you, brothers and sisters, he wouldn't do some of the things that we do. What he did in love, and he did in concern for everyone around him, because he wanted them to have an abundant life. Man seems to know everything about life except how to live it abundantly. We as born again, saved, spirit-filled believers have the key to this abundant living that I'm talking about. Beginning now, today, I encourage each and every one of you to not be satisfied with anything less than what God has for us, and God has his best for us. God wants us to living a life of abundance. Several attributes mark the abundant life. The abundant life is a yielded life. In Romans 6:10-13, the death of Jesus died. He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present in your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness.
Amen.
We need to stand in righteousness before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how do you do that? There's not a one of us that's going to do it all the time. But that's why we serve a forgiving Savior. Because He cares. He knows we can't walk this walk, talk this talk by ourselves. How many times would we fall flat of our face if it wasn't for Jesus standing there reaching out and saying, come on, sister, come on, brother, let me help you back up here. We got to start over on this thing. Come on, we're losing sight of this abundant life. And He wants us to have it. He wants us to have joy in our salvation. He wants us to be happy. And that comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our old sinful self was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. When we died to sin or we yielded to Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Jesus died once for sin, and now He lives for the glory of God. Paul continues by saying, we should consider ourselves dead to sin and therefore able to live abundantly for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. The abundant life is a life of service. In Romans 12:1-2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. We often have the mindset or the attitude that a life of service is reserved for ministers. Paul's address begins by pleading with us, dear brothers and sisters, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that God will accept. When you think of what God has done for you, is it too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior or the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will know how good and pleasing and perfect that God's will really is. To me, this is sounding a lot like abundant living. When we know what God wants us to have, God has provided it, and all we have to do is be takers. All He wants in return for His richest blessings in our life is for us to love Him, to worship Him, to call on Him. That's all He wants. The abundant life is to be a separate life. In Romans 1:1, this letter is from Paul, and he calls himself a slave of Jesus Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach God's good news. The Open Bible edition of the King James Version reads this way, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul is set apart for the gospel, as we must be to experience abundant living. When we allow ourselves to be set apart by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will know firsthand what this abundant living is all about. The abundant life is to be a spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Here in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he's presenting an outline for living abundantly by the Spirit's power. Don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Not only does the Spirit bring abundant living, but God brings abundant joy to the believers. Do you have joy in your salvation today? Are you living life abundantly? Is something missing? If something is missing in your life, when you take that personal inventory and realize that I'm really not that happy. And some of you feel that way. I can look at your face and tell. Smiling is not your thing. But God wants us to have joy. You know, the devil can take a lot of things away from us. You think about Job. God allowed the devil to take away everything that Job had. He was miserable. He was unhappy. He was sick. But he said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. He put his faith. His faith was anchored in God. And in spite of all the problems that he had joy in his heart. Because he knew that come what may, God was the source of his strength. God was his redeemer that would redeem him and set him free from that bondage of sickness and affliction that he was having. Finally, yet importantly, the abundant life is a mature life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter is warning his dear friends ahead of time so that they can watch out and not be caught up in the errors of wicked people. He says, I don't want you to lose your own secure footing, but to grow in special favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This requires another kind of sacrifice. Becoming a mature Christian requires praise. It requires studying the Bible, the Word of God, not on your own, but in concert with other believers. That's why even John Wesley stressed the importance of small groups to where we could get together and study the Word and hide these words in our heart. And in exercising our faith, you know, if we sit around and we don't talk about the love of God. And I know you've been around people that were supposedly Christian people. And you listen to them talk and over a period of time, these fine Christian people, you never hear them say, you know what God has done for me? Not only did he save my soul, he helped me through this financial situation. Not only did he save my soul, he gave me joy. You know, I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for the love of God. You never hear Jesus Christ mentioned in any of their conversations. You never see anything out of their life that would separate them from the sinner. And when we have that abundant life in our hearts and lives, we will be a separate people. God wants us to have abundant life. And he wants us to live abundantly. Something people don't think about too often, but do you know that Jesus is going to return? We don't know when. I guess maybe he's waiting for more sinners to accept him as their personal Savior, waiting for them to repent and turn to him. We must not sit idly waiting for his return. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell the good news to everyone. We should realize that time is short, and what we do, we must do quickly. Whether it be here at Bethel or out in the mission field or at work or just in your homes, we all have important work to do. And I urge each of you to enter into the life of abundant living. Be yielded to God's will, giving yourself to service while separating yourself from the world and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to be a victorious Christian and will help you to live abundantly. Plan your course of service through Jesus Christ. He may not return for years, but be ready to meet our returning Lord and Savior at any time, even today. I know we have a lot scheduled for the day, but if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, or you may have doubts, there's no better time than today to invite Jesus into your heart and let him take control of your life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful because you are a loving and a forgiving God. We're so thankful because, Lord, you know our steps. And Father, when we don't know where to put our feet or which way to go, your footprints are in the sand to lead us and show us the way. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we have all sinned. It may not have been an intentional sin, but Lord, we have failed you in so many ways. We've done and said things that we should not have done and said. And Lord, we should have said some things that we didn't. But Lord, we know that we commit ourselves to you, we can have not only abundant life, but we can enjoy abundant living. Father, forgive us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.